Pepper. The All-American Half Pound. Sweet Pure Beef Patty. Lettuce, tomato. This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll.
Brume, les 30 ans.
Pop United, très spécial aux couleurs du Festival des Trans Musicales de Rennes, avec notre reporter encore plus spécial Guillaume Marceau pour un Pop United à l'occasion des 30 ans de Brume, Pop United cadeau, interview en exclusivité de London Grammar, l'une des révélations pop de cette rentrée, et d'autres artistes programmés lors des Trans Musicales de Rennes. En interview, vous retrouverez également Nova Heart, Edith Presley and Moses and the Firstborn, le tout habillé par une playlist concoctée pour l'occasion par MRS. Retour donc sur les Trans Musicales de Rennes, 35e édition à l'occasion des 30 ans de Brume, cadeau pour les auditeurs de Pop United ce soir, lundi soir, sur Brume, sur 90.7 et radiobrume.fr.
One, two, one, two, one, two. Can we do a sound check? Sound check?
Buongiorno.
Yeah, yeah.
Check, check, check.
It's okay, the light. Hi, London Grammar. Nice
Hello.
To see you.
Bonjour.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. We are in the Transmusical, and it's a quite famous festival in France. Very exciting for all the bands. How about you? When you knew that you were coming here, was it special somehow for you? You said yes, yeah?
Yeah. It's special because of the kind of festival that it is, and also because being here as well, I know it's not France, but feels a bit very close to France. For us, but our fans over here in this area of the world have been so supportive of us, so it always feels amazing to come back. And then this festival is an honor, and it's also our last show of the year. So
yeah. Did you get a bit emotional on stage for that?
I did.
Yeah, you.
I thought I was going to cry and wasting my young years.
Yeah.
But I didn't quite.
Well, that was very sensitive to in the audience too. And I've been walking around, and they were all amazed by the show. Some of them have never seen your shows and heard the record, If You Wait. And in fact, to me, it's like if you took the end of the record, that to me is more clubbing than the beginning, and you spread it to a whole concert. There are lights everywhere, a lot of energy. There's still the intimacy, but it's like the end of the record continuing. Did you work like that, your live performance?
Yeah. I think that was something, I suppose it was something we tried to do. We always knew that it would be a little bit more heavy and a little bit more electronic live.
Yeah.
Because that's what audiences react well with, you know, a greater dynamic. So that was all part of, like, taking a record that we made in the studio and bringing it to the live format.
And do you agree that is the vibe of the end of the record too, that goes more and more clubbing? Yeah.
Although the record ends with a very down song, but other than that, I understand what you mean, like Metal and Dust and what other songs are at the end? I'm trying to think. I don't even remember.
The last song?
I'm trying to think.
Isn't it like Sights, Flickers, Metal and Dust?
I'd like to say a few words about the record, If You Wait, for the few ones that didn't buy it legally on every platform. The first thing is that, you know, in literature, I think one of the most interesting exercise is the journal, you know, the diary. Yeah. And to me, I received that record as a diary. 17 days, 17 moods. 17, well, I don't know, heartbreaks or joy. Did you wrote it that way too, like an everyday journal, almost?
It's probably a journal that's spread over about 18 months, I guess. It is all introspective and things that you wouldn't want people to read, but then they end up hearing. So yeah.
And to me also the songs, I received them as letters, letters to friends, letters to ghosts sometimes, which is probably part of the melancholy that comes from the record, but as if it was letters wrote to people.
I think that's a really nice way of putting it, because I think a lot of songwriters often write things that they wish that they could say to someone and that they never got the opportunity to, or that you just never would find another expression to say it in a normal conversation.
So that's a good way. Mummy, please grab my record and listen carefully, track 7 and 8.
Yeah.
that's a good idea.
And the line was what you a child, a child, cross what you a blind eye with a stare caught right in the middle. Have you wondered for a while? I have a feeling deep down you're caught in the middle. If a line, a line was, would you?
Say also that there's something very beautiful on the record, is the fact that it's produced with simplicity and taste, and I think that's what makes the record a success. The guitars, the drums, many times it's voice and piano coming in, and then lightly, slicely, like paintings almost, like colors. You wrote it that way too?
Yeah, c'est très important pour nous. L'espace dans la chanson, parce que pour utiliser la voix d'Anna de le maximum, c'est très important d'avoir l'espace dans la chanson. Ouais.
And that way, that very smooth producing, does it give you, Anna, a whole spectrum to go with?
Yeah.
Your low voice and your high voice, very high on maybe, very low on Night Call.
Yeah, it definitely always has done. And from the beginning, if I brought something to the table, what the boys would do around it would be so thought through and particular, and they would just embellish and I don't know how to explain it. Or if they've written music before, it's always been really simple but atmospheric and beautiful, and that's half of, you know, more than half of London Grammar is trying to get that balance perfect.
Yeah. It's something that we learned over time, like, to deal with each other in that way, to like maximise our, you know, Hannah's voice and like everything else around us.
But it's already very mature in that, on that record, which is impressive. The other thing I'd like to say is the time for the silence. Tu as dit l'espace, which it's really important in your music. I think there's time for silence. You play the silences too. Yeah. And that's quite rare in the electro, the every kind of music. It's quite rare to take, to enjoy the silences and to play the silences the way you do it.
Yeah.
Is it something, your signature, you'll say?
Je sais pas, mais c'est très important. Something we feel live, like, as well. I always notice live, we have six, maybe seven seconds sometimes, and people start to but in a good way.
That's a very good well, thank you very much. I'd like to say go run, buy and listen that record. Lots of sweetness and power all together, so that's very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Merci.
Thank you for saying such nice things.
Well, that's I truly believe it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. You obviously listened to it a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Merci.
Merci.
De rien.
And
stay away with me.
Moses and the Firstborn, merci beaucoup d'être sur Radio Broom. Thank you for being on Radio Broom. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm very happy to talk to you. I had the sensation we crossed in the streets of Groningen for a festival that is not a slack festival.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We were playing there. And I do remember walking the streets with Jean-Louis Brossard. And
cool.
He said, I found a band. I'm not going to tell you, but I really liked it. And I think it was you. And you went to the UBU.
Yeah.
It's a venue here in Rennes.
Yeah.
I saw the videos. How was it, that first...
It was cool. Like, we met Jean-Louis at Norderslag, like Eurosonic Norderslag, and we instantly fell in love with each other, I guess. So he invited us to play at the UBU Club. It was really cool because I guess it's kind of a legendary place to play. So, yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, and I saw the video, and, well, of course, I Got Skills is a very good song and easy to remember, but while I Got Skills, he is moving his head like that, he's really digging.
Yeah.
And someone told me that was maybe the hit of the Transmusical, I Got Skills. Do you agree with that? Is it your most famous song for now?
I think so, yeah, and I think it's the easiest song to remember, like it gets stuck in your head right away. So.
And it's funny because it's a rock anthem. But there's also some kind of Bob Dylan's way of spreading words in that song. Is he an influence to you somehow, Bob Dylan?
Well, I guess when we wrote the song, it wasn't that big of an influence. But however, like the style of playing and the... of course, there's some influence. But I don't think it's that direct as...
I don't think, like, we didn't really listen to Bob Dylan during the recordings. Yeah. But, I mean, every one of us really loves Bob Dylan, so I think... Yeah, you take that with you when you write songs. Yeah.
Maybe he's an influence, but we don't know it. He's in history so much that...
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I'm saying there's a 2 EP, I Got Skills EP, and a second one called EP2, but I'm not sure of the name. Is that right?
I don't know either, actually, because I think they're only released in France.
Okay. But there's one with Agathe Skill and Bloodsucker and Burn, 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 and the other one is Peter Gier.
Ludie. And Down with the Band, right?
Huh?
Down with the Band?
Down with the Band.
Yeah, Lady Godiva, yeah.
And how was the progression in between the two ones? I'm thinking Peter Jr. was a Rolling Stone groove, a Brian Johnston kind of vibe. And then for Waiting for Something New, it's more of a West Coast sound.
Yeah.
Maybe grunge.
Yeah, well, I guess like when we recorded Petey Jr., I remember like Corda saying like, hey, we should put these congas in it, like in the chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that obviously refers to Sympathy for the Devil. And I guess like when the chorus hits in and you have these extra guitars like going everywhere, I think that's kind of like the Brian Jonestown, Dandy Warhol's kind of sound.
Yeah, the world of sound.
Yeah. And as for Waiting for Something New, I think we really like the idea of recording that track, like, just the way we are. Like, we didn't do any overdubs, so that's, I guess, what makes it kind of this West Coast, just the way it is kind of feel.
Yeah, good grunge vibe.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, on the two EPs, the way you close, Down with the Band, an acoustic ballad, and Burn, 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 which is also, to me, an evolution of that acoustic vibe you can also have in the band. Do you agree with that? It's the two signatures you have.
Yeah. Well, I think when we were writing these songs, or like producing with Michel Schoots, like the Dutch producer, like his main goal was that we could write, like evolve the songs into that they're also really good played acoustic way of like, on like acoustic guitar.
He had like the vision of like... leave the recording part to us because we're really into that, and I guess that's why it sounds like a little bit lo-fi and unique in some way. But he was like, yeah, I think I can help you guys with, you know, just the songwriting. And so the goal for the record was to make sure that all of the songs that were on there like were like really songs, so that even like
possible.
Yeah, like even the electric songs, if you play them acoustically, they still make
it
sense.
Work,
and, yeah. And
so it's working on the melodies, working...
Yeah, a lot,
How is it on stage? Do you change a lot the songs, or do you play it exactly
no,
the way you record?
Yeah, mostly, most of the time we just play them the way they are. Although I think there are like some things we changed a little bit to make it more exciting, or to be able to make the songs like flow into each other.
Yeah.
There are no major changes.
But a very beautiful rock attitude, because I've been reading all the commentaries about your gigs, and they said you had that rock attitude no one can work.
Yeah.
But you do feel it on stage. I saw the videos. You're looking at each other. I think
that's most important when you want to see a band play live. Of course, the music has to be good as well, because there are a lot of bands that are really energetic, but the sound is crap. But I think the combination of energetic performance combined with a solid sound is what people like the best in, like, big bands. Like, in a good band is normally, like, energetic and sounding really good. So.
And that's the case of Moses and the Firstborn. And that's the case of Moses and the Firstborn. Of course, I'm going to ask you the question I asked to all the musicians. Tonight you're playing Transmusical. You've been to the Ubu of Jean-Louis Brossard. Mm. But what sensation did you have when he said, okay, now you did the Ubu, now it's Transmusical? How did you feel?
Yeah, like, it was amazing, because, like, our producer, he's told us about the Transmusical, and he was in a band called Urban Dance Squad, and, like, they did their major French debut at Transmusical, and he was like, wow, I mean, this is, like, the first step, and if the show goes well and people like it, then it's a really big thing, you know, so we're like, oh, you know, that's crazy. So
it's okay, not too much pressure, you've been doing this.
No, yeah, the sound check was great, actually. Yeah, I had perfect sound on stage.
You've seen the place, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. It's so big. Like, yeah. But I hope, like, we're closing the stage.
Yeah.
So I hope it will be busy, and then everything will be fine, I guess.
Yeah. I hope so, too. For conclusion, to the listeners and to the viewers, what song of Moses and the Firstborn you would like to make them hear if you had to choose one right now?
Cordo?
My personal favorite on the album is Party Crasher.
Yeah.
And I think live, that's also the song that will blow your mind if you see the show.
Party Crasher, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Merci, you guys.
Freezing. Hey, you say I'm cold, but you're freezing. Hey, you say I'm cold, but you're freezing. Edith Presley, merci beaucoup d'être sur Radio Brume. Bonjour.
Bonjour, merci à vous.
Je suis très très heureux qu'on se voit pour discuter un peu ce soir. En fait, je crois que tu es une des seules DJettes qu'on va recevoir programmée au Transmusical.
Je suis très honorée, merci.
Et je suis extrêmement content parce que j'ai déjà assisté à une de tes soirées à l'Ubu. Et voilà, donc t'as toute la soirée, jusque je danse très rarement, mais là tu m'as amené sur le dance floor avec les trucs du cœur, quoi, les trucs des années 90 que t'avais mis ce soir-là, et t'as fait danser tout le monde jusqu'au bout de la nuit. C'était vraiment une soirée où toute la soirée t'as mis une ambiance assez folle. Alors déjà, t'es résidente à l'Ubu,
oui, ça ouais, depuis
c'est
un an.
Ce que tu fais assez régulièrement.
Principalement quand il y a une bonne soirée rock, ouais.
Et du coup, moi, évidemment, je me suis demandé, parce que je parle très rarement à des gens qui construisent des soirées comme ça musicalement, comment tu te mets dans l'ambiance? Par exemple, ce soir, qu'est-ce que tu prévois de différent de l'Ubu? Comment tu prépares tous tes petits trucs?
Alors, quand c'est des soirées aussi sérieuses que l'Ubu, là où on s'était croisés, ou ce soir, souvent quand même, j'écoute un peu ce que font les groupes et je lis des interviews. En regardant les influences, etc. Là, le fameux mix que tu avais aimé, j'avais beaucoup regardé ce qu'aimait Birth of Joy. Et du coup, d'où la sélection années 90, parce qu'ils étaient très influencés par ça. Donc je voulais, voilà, j'aime bien faire plaisir aux artistes. Là, ce soir, c'est un peu plus différent, parce que c'est surtout le public, oui, et moi, de montrer ce que j'aime. Donc ça a plusieurs enjeux. C'est vraiment moi de me montrer, montrer ce que j'aime, mais aussi faire kiffer les gens et qui restent, qui puissent danser, voilà, pas qui partent et qui restent dans ce hall-là. Donc voilà, il y a beaucoup d'enjeux. Donc j'ai un peu préparé ça comme si je faisais des bars en fait et que j'allais faire danser tout le monde. Alors ça va être très très éclectique. J'espère que ça plaira, mais après voilà, c'est le hall rock and roll, donc je vais essentiellement passer du rock.
Tu vas être bien rock and roll.
Ouais.
Alors justement, évidemment, la question que je te pose, c'est est-ce que c'est quand même la pression ou est-ce que tu te dis justement c'est un merveilleux moyen de m'exprimer moi, non plus dans le cadre d'une soirée, mais vraiment en tant qu'Edith Presley, justement ce qu'on disait là, mes choix aussi, les interprètes qui vont parler pour moi ce soir. Mmh. Est-ce que c'est comme ça que tu le vois aussi?
Oui, c'est un peu comme ça, ouais. C'est alors. J'ai quelques contraintes évidemment parce que déjà c'est une pression d'être transmusicale, mais et j'ai quelques contraintes où je peux pas passer. Des fois je passe des trucs un peu stupides et là ce soir ça va pas être le cas. Mais c'est aussi une manière, oui, pour moi de complètement m'exprimer. Je sais qu'on me laisse une totale liberté et que je fais ce que je veux. Enfin voilà, faut que ce soit décent quand même. Mais oui, c'est une manière pour moi de vraiment montrer mon univers et ce que j'aime et le faire partager un maximum de personnes. Ça va être un gros kiff pour moi, quoi. Après, c'est évidemment une grosse pression parce que il y a beaucoup de gens.
Justement, là, on va marquer une première petite pause. Quel titre t'aurais envie d'écouter de quel groupe maintenant pour Radio Brune?
Alors là, du coup, vous prendrez celui que vous voudrez, mais j'aimerais bien écouter un morceau de Fiddler, que j'ai passé ce soir aussi.
Eh bien, c'est parti, on écoute ça et on se retrouve juste après pour parler d'un autre moyen d'expression d'Edith Presley, qui est la fabuleuse page, je reprends cette phrase. On se retrouve juste après pour parler d'un autre moyen d'expression d'Edith Presley, qui est sa fabuleuse page Facebook. C'est la seule raison pour laquelle je reste sur Facebook.
We'll be right back. and the sun's a show.
Retour sur Radio Brume. Donc, on vient d'écouter Filda et je parlais de la page Facebook que tu as. Alors, je ne sais pas si tu accepteras tout le monde, mais foncez, allez sur Facebook et demandez en ami Edith Presley. parce que c'est la seule raison pour laquelle je reste sur ce réseau. Tu as une source de photos incroyable, très drôle. D'abord, il y a tes photos du matin. C'est toujours un type extrêmement sexy. je te soupçonne de piocher dans les sites de partage russes.
Ah ouais, pas mal. Ouais. Les Russes sont formidables pour ça. Quoi.
Alors, il y a des beaux gosses moustachus avec des fonds.
Sexy à souhait. Mais ils sont forts pour ça. Hein.
Très bien.
Ont tous des tapis du sol au plafond. Les Russes ont vraiment bon goût.
Slip kangourou,
ah ouais.
Qui ne se dément pas,
ouais.
Ça c'est sûr. Et puis il y a autre chose aussi, c'est la série Mais Pourquoi, où là tu mets des photos de femmes qui ont fait des tatouages permanents sur les sourcils et sur les lèvres.
Qui sont fortes en maquillage.
C'est assez hallucinant. Allez voir ça, donc voilà, je le dis parce que ça aussi c'est un moyen d'expression pour toi. Parce que tu vas chercher les gens, tu les fais rire tous les matins.
Ouais, mais en fait, ça a toujours été depuis que j'ai découvert Facebook. Et du coup, quand tu découvres Facebook, tu passes du temps sur Internet, évidemment, quand tu deviens fan, parce que je suis quand même assez connectée. Et quand t'aimes rigoler et que t'aimes l'autodérision ou la dérision tout court, et ben, tu tombes sur ce genre de photos, tu deviens accro. Et voilà, même avant qu'Edith Presley existe en tant que DJ, j'avais déjà cette passion. Et donc voilà, petit à petit c'est venu et en fait, à force les gens sont habitués à la photo du bonjour et maintenant il n'y a pas un matin sans que je trouve et voilà tout le temps et il y en a tout le temps Internet pour ça, c'est génial.
Mais c'est vrai que si on n'a pas la petite photo du matin d'Edith, on se sent pas.
Oui, c'est ça. Hein. Ils sont contrariés. Ouais.
Et puis mais pourquoi, c'est assez hallucinant.
Ouais.
Voir à quel point les gens se défigurent.
Ouais, ouais.
La première série, ça fait très peur. Allez voir. Foncez sur la page Facebook de Presley et puis venez ici à Rennes pour voir les soirées à l'UBU si vous n'êtes pas au Transmusical. Merci beaucoup, en tout cas c'était un
plaisir
de parler et puis ne loupez pas une soirée d'Edith Presley. Je ne sais pas si tu vas tourner un peu en France, mais si c'est le cas,
j'espère.
Notamment, ne loupez pas une soirée avec Edith Presley.
Merci.
Ça roule pour toi?
Ouais,
cool. Merci.
Hey.
Nova Art, merci beaucoup de venir sur Radio Brume. Thank you very much for being on Radio Brume. EP, Nova Art, called The Beautiful Boys. You already have two beautiful boys in your band. It's enough. You agree with that? Did you said we have to name it that way because people can think they have two beautiful boys in the band? No, it was not your decision.
No, it's not good.
The track is actually about transvestite prostitutes in Rome.
I know. And we're going to talk about that video clip I've seen. It's a quite beautiful one, an impressive one. I'm going to ask you why later. First question, as I asked to all bands, you're playing tonight in a very famous festival in France for discovering bands called Les Trans Musicales. How did you feel when you knew you were going to play there?
We're not as like knowledgeable sometimes about the European festival scene, but then everybody kept on saying you guys should play this big festival, and we were like, oh, okay. And then one day we were told that we were going to play this festival, and the first thing I thought was like, oh, I'm a bit nervous now because everybody keeps on saying that you should play this festival. And now I think now that we are playing this festival, the more people come to us saying that it's very important that you play this festival very, very well. So
pressure goes.
Yeah, the pressure goes up. But hopefully we have some whiskey we brought from the airport because we were very smart about our duty-free.
So that's a good duty-free policy.
Yeah, it's a good duty-free. And I think backstage we will work up our nerves a bit more.
To chill, with the whiskey. Chill and drink.
Chill and drink.
That's a good idea. Have you prepared something special for tonight and the show? Or is it the show you used to do and you do normally?
I think it's just normally. Just what we used to do.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
What we used to do.
Yeah.
And will be maybe just a little bit more of pressure, but that's it. Yeah, you're sticking to the gig you feel comfortable in. Is that right?
Yeah, because I think we're relatively, I think, at the point where if we do something, it's probably what we feel we should always do.
Yeah.
And it's a story, so it doesn't really need anything more, I think. If we do it well, then hopefully people will like it. If they don't like it, then adding bells and whistles and big costumes and dancers are not going to make it any better.
It's not going to change. So it will be Ro and Nova Heart on stage. I'm going to talk about the music now. It's funny, I've listened to the record a few times, and the first time I was listening while walking in the streets, and my song number 9, it's perfect to have a walk in Paris. Because it's very sweet. And it's a song with the rhythmic that is going on. And the rhythmic is walking in a way, too. I mean, it's a song that pushes you to go further. I don't know if you feel that way about that song.
I know it's not a good exercise track. Because I tried it once on the treadmill, and that doesn't work so well.
No, they're very good for exercises. Good ideas, I think.
Yeah.
That song, because I listening to it walk. I was not longer walking, but running when I listened to that one.
Yeah. The speed goes up.
Yeah, and it works very well too. But my song, it's a perfect introduction to that EP. Is that how you thought about it when you wrote it?
No, actually, all the music kind of, we started with an album, and then we just took the four tracks that we thought were most mature, and we released it as an EP. And the other tracks we've been working on because they're not to where we want them to be yet. So it just seemed like a good opening one because it starts very clean, and it's a little bit more different. I think the other tracks are a bit more disco-oriented. Oh, the other tracks have more disco influences. Yeah. And I think in the future we'll go more and more into rock. And My Cell 9 is something that is, well, the first time we did it and then later when it was done, the first impression I had was like, I don't hear as many influences as clearly in this track. There's a lot of things, but it kind of feels to me like something that is closer to the direction I want to go. And I feel like the other tracks are the direction that we started with. It's a starting point, but it's not in the direction that we're going to go.
Are you still working a lot on the new record and the continuation of that four-track EP? Are you into that right now?
I think the four-track EP was much more electronic, and since it started with more as like between me and Rodion, and now the album is much more of a band collaboration. There's many more ideas in it, and there's much more guitar and bass and drums, and every single person I think put a bit of themselves into it. So it's much more of a living organism versus it's not electronic music per se anymore. It's something even more different. I think it's more like a film soundtrack.
Yeah, and that's what the video clip is also. It's like a movie, that video clip on Beautiful Boys. We're going to talk about it at the end. So it's clearly going more to rock atmosphere as it's a living band working. But I had listening to Ethereal also, I had the sensation of good memories of trip-hop music when I was listening to Bess Gibbons. I don't know, you probably know her, the singer of Portishead. Yeah. And it reminded me a lot of her in a good way, you know, the beautiful melodies and the energy of the production. Is it someone you know and love, Bess Gibbons?
Oh, yeah, I love Portishead. It's one of my favorite artists. I remember I think I didn't stop listening to their album between 2001 and 2004. Like, it was on constant...
Continue,
constant rotation. And also, at the time, there was Massive Attack, and there were all artists that were doing something really fresh and new at the time. But I think trip-hop music has a different soul.
Yeah.
And it comes more... I think trip-hop music comes more from hip-hop, and there's, like, a lot more... There's a lot more. The beats are very different. But I love the way she's so expressive and emotional. I really like that.
Yeah, and she did a solo record that is very beautiful too. I'd like to thank you very much for Ethereal, because there is that sound. If you guys do music, there is a sound on every single keyboard that mixes keyboard and voices, and we never know what to do with that sound. You managed to find a way. Now we know what to do with that sound. Listen to Ethereal and you will have idea, because you're using that sound, and I was so happy to hear it, use it properly in a song for once in my life. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, I think you should thank Rodion, our producer.
Rodion. He's super
cool.
Is it true you met in Istanbul?
Yeah, we met in Istanbul.
Crazy story.
Yeah, we met in Istanbul, and we became friends, and then I asked him to produce without even hearing his music. and then I went home and listened to his music, and I got nervous that he wasn't going to produce me because it was really good. And we're like, oh, he's maybe too good, and maybe he finds what we do a little bit, like, you know, not as interesting. But then he really liked it, which was very, very lucky. And afterwards, we started working together, and I think... there's something about him and me and us that seems to have a nice, very organic energy. Like, you know, he calms us down sometimes because I'm a worrier and he's like a hippie. So, like, I remember in the studio we were stressing about recording the album, and we were I was like really stressed out, and there was like some personal stuff, and then he shows up with like a cigarette and looks at us and he goes, calm down.
He cools the atmosphere.
I'm here. And then we're like, And he's like, okay, so this is the problem and I will fix it.
He's a solution maker too,
But it's also, I think, somehow, you know, in China there is the yin and the yang, and in Chinese it's called hubu. And there's a hubu is not about yin and yang. It's more about like when two people work together, their weaknesses are your strengths and your strengths are their weaknesses. So, or their strengths are your weaknesses. So there's something that kind of clicks, and it makes a nice space for people to work because you feel more safe.
And that's the case with him.
Yeah.
Brody Yun, that is producing. I'd like to finish talking about, of course, the video clip of Beautiful Boys. Where was it shot? First question, what city was it shot in?
It was shot in Beijing, but on the outskirts of Beijing, in a village called Taochangdi.
And it's the so I don't know, it's one day maybe only? I don't remember if it's one day or two, but it's the life of...
One night
of a transsexual beautiful boy, woman. Yeah. Is it very subversive to talk about the life of that man, do you think, in China, or not at all?
I think the word subversive is not quite right, because it depends on what you're subverting. There's nothing to subvert right now. It's more like about opening up something, not necessarily about subverting an idea. China doesn't have Catholicism. The communists didn't like religion, so there isn't that negativity that goes into homosexuality.
Yeah.
The main problem with homosexuality is...
She goes off.
The main problem with being a homosexual in China is actually family pressure, because everybody has one child.
Yeah.
So if you're a male child, then your family's future is on your head, and if you're a homosexual, then that's like a big deal.
Big issue.
So a lot of homosexuals in China actually have families, and they have another life. I've been pretty involved in the LGBT society in China, and I know that is the biggest, the violence against homosexuals most of the time is domestic violence.
It's not that Catholic pressure and judgment we have here on the sexual preferences. It's more the pressure, as you said,
of the family.
The family issue. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting that...
And I have had homosexual friends who come out of the closet. Most of the homosexuals in China are in the closet, and that's something that we wanted to explore with this. But most of the people who are homosexuals, they kind of lead another life. I've even had friends who come out of the closet to their families, and the mother is like, "What you do is completely fine with me as long as you give me a child."
Yeah, that's the main issue.
That is the main issue.
Did you know the men playing in that, the transsexual playing in that movie?
She's going to get surgery probably at the end of this year and beginning of next year, so she will be a she.
But you know her life? I mean, her everyday life? You know her?
We started casting for this video, and we were approaching, drag in China is not a big deal. So in the South, but again, a lot of them are in the closet. So they actually are drag queens, but some of them have families. And so we approached this one very famous drag club in the South of China. And we asked them for one of their dancers, one of their performers to come and do the video. But they were so busy. And some of them had already returned to their regular lives.
Yeah.
Like, they were college students. They were, one of them was a lawyer, I think, and he became a lawyer, and then he quit his drag job. The one that we actually picked was that particular lawyer.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to do the video anymore, and they recommended Lala. She's actually kind of the queen bee of, like, the Beijing drag queens.
Okay.
She has her own agency, like the drag agency. And she told me that most of the people, she's out. She's been out for, well, now she's actually, no, she's still in the closet to her family, but she's out.
To her friends and, yeah.
And when we showed her the script, she was like, you know, that's my life. And I'm like, not the prostitution bits, but she has a boyfriend. They've been in a committed relationship for 7 years. But she said that every single time, she's from Mongolia, when she goes home to Mongolia, she has breast implants. So she wraps up her breasts. She takes her hair and she tucks it. She has real long hair into a cap.
She has to become a man again to see her family.
She does that every year at Spring Festival to go home.
Well, go see the video clip of Beautiful Boys, and you can buy legally the record of Nova Heart. Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck for tonight.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
We'll see you.
Pop United et spécial Transmusical de Rennes, on remercie Guillaume Marceau qui était aux commandes de toutes ces interviews, notamment l'interview de London Grammar que vous avez pu écouter en exclusivité pour Prume et les auditeurs du 90.7. Nova Earth également à l'instant, Edith Presley ou encore Moses and the Firstborn. On se retrouve la semaine prochaine pour un autre Pop United spécial 30 ans de brume.
He sat up in his open window, looking quietly down at the path. A firefly flew in his room and flew right out again. Down jumped the prince, and he went again to find his radio.
Transistor radio, blowing magic transistor radio.
As he made his way, he could hear something once again. There was that transistor up on the same tree. Then, from inside of it came a strange voice.
Redécouvrez le son unique du 90.7 à Lyon, les 30 ans de brume.